Boston Strong.
We're strong and we're resilient and we're going to come back and we're going to take our race back.
Super tight marathon security.
We're going to have a lot of undercover assets, plenty of cameras out there.
Stowaway at 38,000 feet.
It just boggles the mind.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan.
And I'm Nora O'Donnell in Boston with the CBS World News Roundup. A year after the Boston Marathon bombings killed three people, injured more than 260, this city is ready to run again. A record number of runners will take part in the 118th marathon after a moment of silence to honor the victims of last year's attack. Boston Mayor Marty Walsh says his city has taken every possible precaution.
We have everything we need in place to make sure that everyone is safe and has a great experience.
CBS's Jeff Glore has more on security here.
From the air and on the ground, more than 4,000 members of law enforcement will be watching, with help from bomb-sniffing dogs and a network of street security cameras.
That's the finish line right there.
Yeah.
Bill Evans is Boston's police commissioner.
This is a soft target. There's eight cities and towns here that are involved. You know, if it's a stadium, you can warn people going into stadiums. You can check bags. 26.2 miles is a lot of yardage to cover and secure it, but I think we have a great plan to do it.
Spectators are being told not to bring backpacks, bulky clothes like vests with big pockets, bottles larger than 1 liter, and large flags or signs. If a bag is needed, police say, make it plastic and see-through.
CBS's Heather Bosch is with me here in Boston.
Under tighter security, more people than typical are running this year's marathon. Director Tom Groek says 36,000, up from 27,000, are participating.
Of those, more than half, about 5,000, are people who were not able to finish last year.
Including this young woman, who's eager to finally complete the race.
It is very important.
How much are you looking forward to being able to cross that finish line? What does that mean?
I'm very honored that I've been given the privilege to turn such awful memories into good ones.
Also joining the marathon this year, bombing survivors and people running on their behalf.
5,000 runners who didn't get to finish last year are in the field. WTOP Radio's Andrew Mullenbeck has been speaking to some of them.
At last year's race, John Walls had his phone out at the finish line to record his wife and his daughter coming in. Then
there really was an extraordinary terror that you felt because you realized that it was something that was orchestrated.
Katie and her mom were not hurt in the explosions, and like so many runners, they're anxious to return.
You can't let nerves keep you from accomplishing something or proving that the city is much stronger than the two people who tried to bring it down.
The sun is out here, and hopes are high that this marathon will be safe and a symbol Boston is strong. Steve?
Nora O'Donnell in Boston, thanks. An incredible story of survivals being told in Hawaii. A 16-year-old boy hid in the wheel well of a Hawaiian Airlines flight from San Jose to Maui. Airport duty manager Marvin Moniz says he emerged on the tarmac.
He looked pretty good from what I could see. Didn't appear to be dirty or greased up from claiming to be in a wheel well.
The jet flew at 38,000 feet. Temperatures hit 80 below zero. Aviation expert Peter Foreman says the teen was unconscious for most of it.
Within a few minutes up at that altitude, the person would pass out. Usually they would not survive for, you know, hours on end up there.
The FBI says the boy won't be charged, but they are checking how he got past security in San Jose. South Korea's president calls the actions of the captain and some members of the crew on that sunken ferry unforgivable and murderous. CBS's Seth Doan is in Jindo, South Korea.
Four more crew members have been detained today. Two first mates, a second mate, and the chief engineer of the ferry. All face allegations that they failed to protect passengers and abandoned the ship.
So far, 80 bodies have been found. More than 200 are missing. Vice President Biden is on his way to Ukraine to meet with leaders of the new government in Kiev. There was a shootout over the weekend in eastern Ukraine where there's been tension with pro-Russian insurgents. Three were killed. For the third time in as many days, there's been a U.S. drone strike on suspected militants in Yemen. Security officials say several were killed today. Sherpa guides on Mount Everest are considering a boycott days after the avalanche that killed 13 of them and left three others missing. Some have already quit. And the Discovery Channel is canceling a daredevil's planned jump off the Everest summit in a wingsuit next month. A new study finds doctors treating children in the emergency room too often turn to a powerful painkiller that's been the subject of government warnings. Live to CBS's Vicky Barker.
Codeine has been linked to rare but life-threatening complications in children. Dr. Diane Hess is the medical director at Gramercy Pediatrics in New York.
The enzyme can have different levels of activity. So some children can ultra-metabolize this, which means they rapidly convert it to morphine, and that could lead to respiratory suppression and eventually death.
Yet this powerful opiate is prescribed for children in at least 500,000 emergency room visits every year. The 10-year study found kids are getting codeine even when alternatives are available, such as dark honey for a cough. Steve?
At the Supreme Court, justices today hear a case brought against one of the top companies in the world. Here's CBS's Barry Bagnano.
A company that built a reputation for being genuine is at the Supreme Court defending a pomegranate blueberry juice blend that barely contains either ingredient. Less than 1% total, in fact, even though the label of Coca-Cola's Minute Maid drink shows a bright red pomegranate and perfect little blueberries. Coke was sued by Palm Wonderful, which sells a version that's nothing but juice from those fruits. Palm says the 1946 Lanham Act allows it to challenge deceptive claims. Coke, though, argues because food product labels are regulated by the Food and Drug Administration, it can't be sued by its competitors. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
Two homes near Orlando are on the brink. They're threatened by an ominous sinkhole.
It's about 25 to 30 feet across to the surface, and we're estimating between 40 and 60 feet deep.
Geologist Drew Glassbrenner says rain made the situation worse, but it's believed they can save the home closest to the hole.
The house isn't going to go anywhere as long as the hole doesn't move much past where it is right now.
The neighborhood's been evacuated as a precaution. In Fort Myers, Florida, 20 people were hurt last night when a car plowed into a church that was packed for an Easter concert. Police say the brakes on the car apparently failed. Here comes the story of Eric Kane. He'll live forever in song and in a movie that told his story. But yesterday, Reuben Hurricane Carter died at 76 after a fight with cancer. CBS's Anne-Marie Green says the boxer's biggest battle was with the legal system.
In the ring, middleweight boxer Reuben Carter hit his opponents like a force of nature. Selwyn Rabb is an author and investigative journalist who covered Carter extensively for the New York Times.
He got this reputation that he was ferocious and he was a hurricane.
But in the summer of 1966, he was arrested for a triple murder. All of the victims were white, and even though he had an alibi, Carter, along with an acquaintance, John Artis, was wrongfully convicted of the murders.
He spent 19 years in prison and was finally ordered free by a federal judge who said the prosecution was based on racism rather than reason. That's the World News Roundup. For Nora O'Donnell in Boston, I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.